and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com, and the as-yet-unnamed YouTube channel, which you can find the links to throughout Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and on the website, which is redrockbasketball.com. So go ahead and check out what's happening over on the YouTube channel. Back again today to look at another of the teams for the season in review. And today we're going to be talking about the Portland Trailblazers. Portland season actually it went down in a blaze of glory when Wes Matthews' Achilles blowout. It was obviously not ideal. Not ideal for Wes. Not ideal for the Blazers. But as soon as that happened to Matthews, they basically had no chance in the playoffs. And we saw that in that series against Memphis, which brings a lot of things, a lot of interesting things happening for Portland in this offseason. It's definitely a huge offseason for them and where they're looking or where they're headed as a team. Got a number of questions asking about those sort of things. So we'll get right into it. Let's start. You know where we always start. We always start with the point guard. So let's start with Damian Lillard, who controversially missed All-Star selection, ended up getting injuries. But it was probably his best season, to be honest, better than the season he had before when he was an All-Star. He got his scoring numbers up a little bit, his assist numbers up, and probably most importantly for his fantasy value, he got his steal numbers up from 0.8, which is really low for a point guard. He was up to 1.2 steals a game, 21 points, 2.5 threes, over 6 assists, a stellar 86% free throw percentage. He's still a bit of he's not a chucker, but a guy who's a high volume, low percentage shooter, which always hurts that category. But overall, he was the 12th overall player in head-to-head per game value. Now, he did drop off towards the end of the season, definitely. He was the 30th guy post-All-Star. Wasn't as strong down the stretch. He only averaged in the last month of the season 19.5 points, which it's still pretty good, but it is a drop-off from what he averaged during the season, and his steal numbers dropped dramatically. After the All-Star break, only half a steal a game, as opposed to that 1.2 he averaged over the season. So that's a big chunk. So let's hope that start of the season, when he was getting a lot of steals, isn't an aberration and he doesn't drop back to this less than one steal a game level, because that will force him down draft boards. Now, we did have some questions come in specifically about Damian Lillard. We had one on Instagram from Jasmine, who's at jsierra_b. What round value could Lillard go, assuming LaMarcus Aldridge leaves, which we're going to talk LaMarcus Aldridge a little bit later. I think if Aldridge leaves, there's no problem taking Lillard at the end of the first round and definitely the start of the second round. He was 12th in per game value this season. I think that if there is no LaMarcus Aldridge round, depending on what else they do in free agency, he could. But maybe I'll reassess that, because how many more touches and how much more scoring can he do? It was him and Aldridge doing basically all the scoring. He's not going to go out there and score 40 points a game and take on all Aldridge's scoring, maybe another 2 points. So maybe he jumps up and becomes or stays at that 12 range. I don't think I'd want to go at him inside the top 10. I'd be more comfortable taking him myself personally around 15, but I couldn't argue with him if you took him at 11 or 12 or 13 or any one of those positions. If for some reason he falls to the end of the second round, that's a huge steal. But I think that he can definitely be a guy who pushes into the end of that first round in 12-team leagues. I had another question about Lillard from Dennis Hickson, who's on Twitter at Dennis_3rd. Should Lillard be shooting guard eligible? Well, he was on ESPN last season. Not sure about Yahoo, but he was shooting guard eligible on ESPN. I think he should be, because he is pretty much a shooting guard like Russell Westbrook. He handles the ball a lot, gives it a lot of assists, but he shoots a ton as well. So I don't think he'll start the season with shooting guard eligibility next season, but I'd be pretty shocked if he didn't acquire it at some point during the season. Steve Blake was the nominal backup point guard for most of the season. Didn't have as big an impact as what I thought he would. He only played 19 minutes a game, 3.5 assists, which is a pretty good number. And that's the thing with these backup point guards. He didn't do much else. He got you, what did he get, 4.3 points. He hit a 3 a game. But those 3.5 assists can be supremely valuable at the end of a head-to-head weekly matchup and you've got the Blazers playing and you can throw him in and get three or four assists, it can make all the difference. Now, he only ended up averaging as the 251st ranked player in head-to-head leagues, which is not high, but for that on-off sort of, you know, switch him in and play him on a hope that he gives you 3 to 5 assists, it's a pretty good number. It's definitely not without merit to add those guys in if you really need a bump in that assist category, which is what Steve Blake gives you. Let's talk about another guy who had some point guard. Well, you know what? We won't get into him just yet. Let's talk Tim Frazier, a guy who came out of nowhere, started a few games from the Sixers. They didn't get his 10-day contract renewed. Ended up signing on with Portland towards the end of the season. He's got a contract in place for next season, so he could be with the team again. There's not a huge amount to like with Tim Frazier. He is a guy that we saw when he got the minutes in Philadelphia. He put up pretty decent numbers. And overall, his season numbers are skewed by that time in Philadelphia. 5.5 assists a game, 5 points a game. But realistically, there's not much for him in Portland unless one of these guys gets injured. Blake gets injured or Lillard gets injured. Then he moves into consideration for deeper 20-team leagues. The guy that I did want to talk about is CJ McCollum, who is a real underrated prospect for me. Maybe not so much now after his breakout in the playoffs, but a lottery pick 2 seasons ago, basically did nothing for 2 years, and really started to come into his own. Before we even talk about what he did in the playoffs, the last month of the season, he was the 129th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. He was definitely putting up some big numbers. And that's because that opening at shooting guard, with Wes Matthews going down, with Aaron Aflalo being pretty much useless, McCollum was forced into action, and he played well. He played 24 minutes a game, 12.5 points, 1.2 threes, not a distributor, 1.5 assists, so that point guard eligibility is a bit funny, but over a steal a game in 24 minutes, 50% shooting, 71% from the line. Now, he's not a 50% shooter. He was a 42% shooter last season. He got hot at the end of the season, and put up really good numbers, but that last month, that was definitely making me think, okay, this guy's got the talent. Aaron Aflalo is straight garbage. Wes Matthews suffered a horrific injury, which can be career-ending for some people. So I think the Blazers really liked what they saw from McCollum. Then we get to the playoffs. He played 33 minutes a game in the 5 playoff games, averaged 17 points, 4 rebounds, over a steal again, 2.2 three-pointers at 48% conversion. So he continued his hot shooting all the way through the end of the season, into the playoffs, and he was absolutely fantastic. So, guys asking me about CJ McCollum, did anyone ask me about him? No, shocking, no one asked me about him in the questions, but I'll tell you right now, he's a guy who I am super excited for next season. It's all going to depend on a couple of things. Wes Matthews, where does he sign? He's an unrestricted free agent, and he's coming off the Achilles injury. Aaron Aflalo's got a $7 million player option, which, for some ridiculous reason, he thinks he's going to decline and sign on somewhere else. He was absolute trash for all season. In Denver, in Portland, he was worse. McCollum clearly outplayed him. If he comes back to Portland, I don't think there's any chance that they give him minutes over McCollum. They have to give McCollum the minutes. They did it throughout the playoffs, and McCollum was clearly the better player. I think McCollum's a last round flyer for standard leagues, 12-team leagues, 10-team leagues. Dynasty, his star is rising significantly. I think that he's going to be a potential top 80 player in the next 2 to 3 seasons, and I think there's a lot you can invest in him, hoping that's going to be the case. He could be easily a top 80 player next season. I think there's a lot to like about him. He suffered a lot of injuries at the start of his career, a foot fracture, which we know is really hard to come back from. But he's healthy now. He put up numbers, and he's riding a ton of momentum. And I think that with that uncertainty at shooting guard, with Wes Matthews and with Aaron Aflalo, who have question marks for two completely different reasons, there is a massive opportunity for McCollum to jump in. And also the fact that Steve Blake's about 85 years old, McCollum can play some backup behind Lillard as well as play the starting shooting guard, or just play the sixth man, or play the combo guard, back up both the one and the two. Let Aflalo start, let him play 19 minutes, and then let McCollum go crazy, or play Wes Matthews there, and then, reduce Matthews' workload a bit, play him 27 minutes a night, and get McCollum up to 30 playing both positions. I'm really, really excited about CJ McCollum's value for next season. I don't think everyone's going to be quite as excited as what I am, but I'm super pumped from what I saw from him at the end of the season. Let's talk shooting guards. Let's talk Wes Matthews. Dennis Hickson chimed in with a question about him. Where does Wes finish if he's healthy? Well, let's talk about what he did last season. He was the 58th ranked player in per game value. Total value, he only played 60 games, but he's still 77 in roto leagues, 85 in head-to-head leagues, and he's putting up really, really, really good numbers. 15.9 points, almost three triples a game, which is really underrated when we talk about the guys who contribute a lot in three-pointers. We don't often talk Wes Matthews, which we should, but almost three triples a game, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, almost 1.5 steals, 45 and 75. Just lots and lots of value right across the board. Not really hurting you anywhere, providing pretty solid numbers, a really solid roto guy. The issue, the concern is he played 34 minutes a game. So when he comes back next season, he's not playing 34 minutes from the get-go. He might end up playing 34 in the last couple of months of the season, but at the start of the season, I don't think there's any way he's doing that. And even if he does come back and playing minutes, he might not be the same player, and he might be in a completely different city on a completely different team. So I am fearful of Wes Matthews. I'm not taking him around 50. I'm not taking him at 60. I'm not taking him at 70. I think he's probably an 80 to 90 guy who could be a real nice reward guy by the end of the season. But picking him at that place where he finished, which is, you know, mid-50s, is probably going to be fraught with a little bit of danger because of those issues with the injury. Let's talk about the other shooting guards left on this team. Aflalo. He was just brutal, to be honest. 191st in head-to-head per game value. Post All-Star break, after he got traded to Portland, 252nd. When it all boils down to it, he's a guy who scores and can't do that and can't shoot. Now, he averaged 13.3 points, 1.5 threes, but then you get nothing. 3 rebounds, 1.7 assists, half a steal, 42% on 11 shots. The numbers might look appealing on the surface, but they're not. Like that scoring number's not that good. 13 points is not that good, and that's where his bread is buttered. He needs to be a guy who gets 15 points. He needs to be Wes Matthews, you know, 16 points, 2.5 threes, to be any use, not these sort of middling numbers, and then contributing no steals, no blocks, poor percentage from the field. He's just not, he hasn't been good the last two seasons, to be honest. Whether he can bounce back is a completely different story, but I place no faith in him for standard leagues, and if someone still likes Aaron Aflalo in a dynasty league, I'm trading him away to that person, because I just don't think that he's going to have much 10 or 12 team league relevance or top 140 sort of relevance ever again. He just seems to have lost it completely. He was on a bad team, and you go, okay, maybe he moves to a good team and he's better. He moved to Portland, he played the backup role, and then that huge opportunity opened up to him with Matthews out. Just didn't do anything with it. He was just passive. He just wasn't good. And I just don't think that he's any good anymore. So I think that Aaron Aflalo's time as being a fantasy relevant player for most leagues is pretty much over. Alan Crabb played a lot of shooting guard. At times when guys were injured, like Nick Batum, when he went through all his injury problems, Crabb got starts, undeservingly probably. 351st is per game head-to-head value. We don't need to worry too much about Alan Crabb. I don't think there's much hope of him developing into too much of a good player. He is signed still for next season, but I don't think we need to be really too concerned about him in any sort of format. Dynasty, deep leagues, anything. He's just a guy that even when he plays, there's just not a lot to really like from him. Let's move on to the small forwards and talk Nick Batum, who was a real big disappointment last season. He was picked early by me in a lot of leagues, picked inside the third round, and ended up giving a 74th ranked overall value. He did get a bit better post All-Star break, finishing 55th, but injuries to his wrist, which he played through all season, really hampered him. He shot the ball absolutely horribly, 40% from the field, 33% from three. And a lot of the other things that make him such a good fantasy player dropped off. He scored only 9.5 points a game. That's down from 13 the season before. He still gave you 1.5 threes, but only 6 rebounds as opposed to 7.5. The 5 assists they're invaluable, and that's what makes him a guy that you still had to own. A lot of people were, you know, we need to drop Nick Batum. And it's like, hold on. Like, he's not giving you that top 30 value anymore, but he's still giving you 5 assists. And 6 rebounds, and 1.5 threes, and a steal a game, and an 86% free throw percentage. So he's still giving you something, but overall his value dropped pretty significantly. But we look at that, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 threes, 1 steal. they're still pretty good numbers. And I think that Nick Batum can have a real big bounce back next season. You're not going to have to invest a top 30 pick in him. You're not going to have to invest a top 50 pick in him, most likely. And I am snatching him up as soon as we get to 50. Well, yeah, I think he'll be a top 50 player. But as soon as that pick goes past 50, I'm looking at snatching him up. So anyone who ends up being in a league with me, just watch out. I'm going to be looking at Nick Batum in a lot of different formats. And if you're punting points, then he is an amazing guy to get because he plays that small forward, and you just don't get five assists from small forward unless the name's LeBron James. Look, no one else does that. He is a very, very versatile player. I love watching him play, and it was a real disappointing season for him. But all his injuries contributed significantly to his season, so don't completely write him off. Alonzo G is an unrestricted free agent. He came across in the trade with Aaron Aflalo. Didn't do a huge amount to get anyone excited. 363rd in per game value. 12 minutes a game, 4.5 points, and almost literally nothing else. There's nothing to get too excited about with Alonzo G, unfortunately for Alonzo G. And remember when Darrell Wright was the next big thing in fantasy about 4 years ago when he was just going bonkers with the three-pointers? Well, that doesn't sort of happen anymore. He still hit one a game in 12 minutes, so that's a pretty good return, but the likelihood of him getting big minutes is just, it's not high at this point. 4.5 points, 2.3 rebounds, 38% shooting, which is exactly the same as his three-point percentage as well, and a 348th rank for his head-to-head per game value. He did start a few games when Aldridge was injured. We saw him get a few starts at power forward, but they quickly went away from that towards the end of the season, and he just... Yeah, he's just, it's not exciting. There's not a lot to like about Darrell Wright at this point in his career. Now, is that all the wing players and the small players covered? I think it is. Not that you can answer me when you're listening to this. Let's move into the big men, and let's move into the big story, and that's LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, there are questions abounding about LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's go through them. Dean Vasek. Where do you have Myers Leonard's value in dynasty leagues, assuming LMA leaves Portland? I've already had Jasmine's question saying, yeah, assuming LMA leaves Portland. Barry Baker, the Twitter question maker. Josh, I have a dynasty draft coming up. Where do you see LaMarcus Aldridge going? Where should I target him at? And do you see Myers Leonard playing a sufficient amount of time next season? Dennis Hickson, would Aldridge be a better value if he shoots more threes? So many questions. So many questions about LaMarcus Aldridge. Because he's an unrestricted free agent. He scored 23.5 points a game, 10 rebounds. Not many guys are 20 and 10 guys anymore. Half a three, a block a game. Where does that rank him? He doesn't rank as high as what you think. He ranked 22nd in per game value, 47th post All-Star break. Now, he was playing with that busted thumb, so I think we can expect more from him next season when that thumb's healthy. But no matter where he goes, he's going to be a guy who approaches 20 and 10. And yeah, if he does hit threes, I think it does increase his value because he's not a guy that gives you a great field goal percentage as a power forward anyway. You want your power forwards to go 48, 49, 50%. He shot 57 last year, and that's generally high for him. He's generally not a great field goal percentage guy. So if he adds the threes in, that just gives you that bump in that category, and you're not counting on him to boost your field goal percentage. So yes, if he could extend out and take more threes, like half a three a game is actually pretty good for him, and I think that he will start taking more of those. But I'm not concerned about where he goes in terms of his value, unless he just goes to a team that's completely stacked, but I don't really see that happen. Even if he goes to San Antonio, I don't see much happening with his value, depending on Duncan's position, but Duncan would just end up playing less minutes. I would guess he would go down to maybe play 25, 26 minutes with Aldridge there and Splitter there. I don't think there'd be too much of a concern about Aldridge's value. He's in the prime of his career. He's not going to have too much of a change in his output. The thing you look at, it's only one block shot a game, 0.7 steals. He's a big points guy, a big rebounds guy, and a great free throw guy for a big man. But overall, his numbers, he's very sort of up and down in categories in terms of like big points, big rebounds, then no steals, small blocks, no assists. Just those numbers that you want to go up. And you'd love it if he could give you a 50% field goal season. But that's not his game. He just takes so many shots from not close to the basket. Closely tied with LaMarcus Aldridge is Myers Leonard, as you heard from all those questions. And he's another guy who really intrigues me for dynasty leagues in particular. Now, if Aldridge leaves, they might go and get someone else to play power forward. There's also Robin Lopez, who is an unrestricted free agent. And we saw in the playoffs, he was straight garbage as well. And Myers Leonard played a lot of minutes next to Aldridge, with Lopez sitting out and basically not playing at all. So Leonard, over the course of the season was the 209th ranked player in his head-to-head value. And that's, he only played 15 minutes a game, 6 points, 1 3, 4.5 rebounds, but 51 and 94%. Myers Leonard had a 50-40-90 season, 50% from the field, 40% from 3, 90% from the free throw line. You know any other players did that? No one. He's an extremely good shooter. He can get rebounds as well. He hits threes as a big man. We talked about Aldridge not having many other peripheral stats. His blocks and assists and steals aren't the best, but he does have a lot of intrigue. If you look at his per 36 numbers, which I think are relevant, 14 points, 2 triples, 10.5 rebounds, at 51 and 94%, 0.6 blocks, 0.4 steals, 1.5 assists. There's not much there. Let's look at what he did in the playoffs, though. He played the 5 games, didn't start any of them, played 21 minutes a game, 7.8 points, 6.6 rebounds, half a steal, half a block. He also hit 2 triples a game throughout the playoffs at 77% in 5 games. That is ludicrous. It is just ludicrous. He's not that good of a shooter. He's a great shooter. He's not that good of a shooter. But his per 36 numbers get me intrigued in the playoffs too. 13 and 11. 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 3.5 triples. It is tantalizing if Aldridge leaves. Now, Leonard was a lottery pick 3 years ago, the year before CJ McCollum. So they could have McCollum and Leonard finally realizing their lottery potential, jumping up and grabbing big roles on this team. And we talk about, could Aldridge stretch his value about becoming a three-point shooter? Myers Leonard already is a three-point shooter, but he's a three-point shooter not like Andre Bargnani. He's a guy who's a three-point shooter who still can get you 8 rebounds a game. He is a rebounder. He's not a shot blocker. That's the problem. Now, if Aldridge stays, we might see Lopez leave, or the Blazers go, Robin, no thanks, you just weren't very good in the playoffs. And they could play Leonard next to Aldridge. Now, the defensive issues there are obviously big, but they did it in the playoffs for big chunks. And it worked. The offense was pretty good with those two playing. Yeah, decent shooting from two big men. They need to get someone else in there for some defensive presence. But otherwise, a really impressive mini breakout from Myers Leonard last season. Let's talk Robin Lopez. Actually, let's talk Joel Freeland quickly. There's not much to talk about with him. Shout out to all the British listeners of the podcast. 13 minutes a game, 3.5 points. A good rebounder and a pretty decent shot blocker. So you know what? If he hangs around, he could play a Festus Ezeli role of Golden State, although Ezeli's been not that great in the playoffs here, but a guy who can provide some defense. Half a block a game in 13 minutes is okay. 49 and 84%. Another big man. They've got big men who shoot the free throws incredibly well. Like, incredibly well. Freeland at 84%. Leonard at 94%. Aldridge at 85%. Lopez at 77%. That's fantastic to have those big men shoot. Four big men shoot over 77% from the free throw line is pretty impressive. Let's talk Robin Lopez though. He wasn't all that impressive, especially down the stretch. But when we look at his head to head per game value, it was actually okay. 98th per game. Now he missed a big chunk of time with an injury. Generally, he's pretty rock solid. He hadn't missed a game for quite a while before that. 9.6 points in 28 minutes a game, and that was a big problem. His minutes reduced significantly. 6.7 rebounds, 1.4 blocks, but a lot of his value comes from 54 and 77% as his percentages. The 1.5 blocks helped, the rebounds are okay, and he was a guy that he should have been owned in majority of leagues. The playoffs, he really, really struggled though, and the injury was somewhat of a concern, I think, for him. But he did struggle down the stretch, 120th post All-Star break, and then the playoffs, just not good numbers from Robin Lopez at all. Do they bring him back? Who knows? They've got Chris Kaman there, who was one of the reasons that Lopez's minutes were reduced. Now, Kaman, he's old, he's decrepit. He played 19 minutes a game, but when Lopez went down, he couldn't assume a starting role. There was times during the season, at the start of the season, when he'd play 20 minutes and he'd get 8 rebounds, and you go, you know what? I don't even need Chris Kaman to be in a starting role. He's playing 20 minutes, he's getting me 8 rebounds, I want to own him. He ended up averaging 6.5 rebounds and 8.5 points in 19 minutes, 0.7 blocks, 52 and 71, so another big man with a decent free throw percentage. And you go, that's great, it's 19 minutes, look at these numbers. but he just physically cannot play more than that. So don't expect too much more than that. Don't go, Lopez might go and Kamen's going to become a starter and play 27 minutes, because he's not. He's just going to end up playing 20 minutes and doing exactly the same. And that's what we saw from him. But he's always been a guy who can put up numbers, but now his body is just not allowing him to put up enough minutes for us to be too concerned about it for fantasy leagues. He still was 178 in per game value. So 16-team leagues, 18-team leagues, you still weren't going to want a piece of Chris Kamen. But the way his body is not holding up, really, and they have to manage his body that well or that way, it makes it hard to use him in a lot of fantasy formats. I reckon that is that's it for Portland. Now, remember those names: Myers Leonard and CJ McCollum. Now, a lot of it does depend on Wes Matthews, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Aaron Aflalo. But if you're making moves now and you want to get some cheap trades in a dynasty format, just see if you can get something cheap happening in some of these deals. Now, I had a trade. I just got an email from a listener. And I want to hear you guys' opinion on it, if there's anyone still listening. It's a dynasty league trade, salary caps, all that sort of stuff. I won't bore you with the details. But basically, it was Jared Sullinger, the 8th overall pick in a rookie draft. Let me just bring the details up before I get into it, because I just want to hear what your guys' take is on the deal. Let's have a look. Sullinger, the 8th overall pick in the rookie draft and the 60th overall pick in the rookie draft for Zach LaVine. And my opinion on that is the Sullinger, whoever gets Sullinger, that's a win for them. Sullinger plus the 8th best rookie and the 60th best rookie. We can discount the 60th best rookie for LaVine. So Sully and the 8th rookie for LaVine. To me, that's, if you're getting Sullinger plus the 8th best rookie, who could easily just be better than LaVine on their own, I think that's a big win. But I'd like to hear what other people's opinion is on that trade. All right, make sure you're checking out all the stuff happening over on YouTube, and of course subscribing on iTunes and leaving reviews and all that jazz. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.